So welcome everybody this morning. My name's Tim. So we're in a series, as you might have gathered, and the series is titled Be Ready for Anything. And it's my job this morning to speak for a short time on suffering, and that we must be ready for suffering. This is not a small task. And there's much that I won't be able to cover. There are many different types of suffering, and I know that there are many different struggles that people in this church are facing right now. None of us are immune to suffering. We don't get a pass. We don't get to bypass suffering just because we're believers in Jesus. We should expect it. We're going to come to the main passage in a moment, but in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, Peter says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come to test you as though something strange were happening to you." In fact, we'll see in a moment that it may be not simply that you will suffer as a Christian, but that you will suffer because you're a Christian. And Peter wants us to know that being a follower of Jesus can and does transform our response to suffering. The pain is still painful. We still cry our tears. We still grieve our losses, but that isn't where it stops. We don't get stuck there. We're not defined by our suffering, and we need not be overwhelmed by our suffering either. So would you grab your Bible and turn with me to 1 Peter. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, and it is on page 1153. Of the Church Bible, 1153. And it's 1 Peter 3, and we're going to read verses 8 to 18 together, or I'm going to read it to you. We all got it? Okay. So he says, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever among you would love life and see good days must keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. Turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. I'm going to stop there. Peter wrote this first letter to Christians who faced hostility and mistreatment to the extent that they had been scattered through an area that we now know as Turkey. They were Christians who had to leave their homes, their communities, their families, and go in search of a place where they could live out their Christian faith in safety. And Peter speaks a lot about suffering in this letter because he knows that the Christians he writes to are facing hard times in their lives, and it isn't about to get any easier. Christians were misunderstood, mistreated, ridiculed, and scorned. In fact, historians tell us that the term Christian or Christianos was for many years a term of abuse. They were being treated harshly and enduring unfair, unjust, unwarranted suffering. And so he writes to these believers to help them navigate through these stormy, choppy waters of suffering. So, just so you know where we're headed this morning, this is the ground that we're going to cover. I haven't got any PowerPoint slides this morning, so listen up. Firstly, how are we to respond to suffering as a church? We said already that followers of Jesus will face suffering, but how are we to respond to that? Then secondly, how are we to respond to unjust suffering that we might be experiencing in our day-to-day life? And finally, where will we find the resources for all this? So firstly, first point, in the face of suffering, Peter says, cultivate a church community that is loving, supportive, and compassionate. And I'm getting that from verse 8, if you want to look down at it. What a blessing it is to be part of a community of believers in Jesus, who genuinely love each other and walk with each other through suffering. But I think Peter realizes that this might not always be easy, and it shouldn't be taken for granted or assumed. It might need working at. We might need to cultivate that culture. Maybe in our suffering, we feel isolated or alone. Peter reminds them, they are not alone. In chapter 5, verse 9, he says, stand firm because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Do you need to hear that this morning? You're not alone. Don't let suffering isolate you. You are part of a community of believers who care for you, and they will be so happy if you ask them to pray for you. It might require humility, but let's be open with each other and lean on the support that we both have and need. Or maybe it's hard to carry on giving and serving when we're going through tough times ourselves. Maybe it feels a lot easier to go into retreat mode, to run away or hide or keep quiet. But repeatedly in this letter, Peter says to the believers, yes, you are going through hard times right now, but don't let that stop you serving Jesus. Don't be dismayed. Don't let that suffering distract you or divert you from following Jesus. In 1 Peter 4, verse 19, Peter says, so then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Continue to do good. Don't stop. Don't stop serving. Don't stop speaking. Don't stop giving. Don't stop opening your homes. Carry on as you were. And back to verse 8 again. Peter says, all of you are together in this. Be like-minded. That is, share your lives with each other. Love each other. Be humble. Be compassionate. Show that you care. What does that look like, practically speaking? So that might mean sending a WhatsApp or a text. When you know that someone is facing something difficult, send them a verse of the Bible to encourage them. Or even sending a card or dropping a note through their door. Maybe it looks like taking some food round to their house or offering to help them with childcare. Maybe it's joining with others to pray for a particular situation or struggle that they're going through. Maybe inviting others into your home to share a meal, sharing your life. Maybe meeting up for coffee or prayer, or ideally both together. But whatever it is, it needs to be intentional. It won't just happen. We need to cultivate it. That's the first point. Second point. Bit different. Your response to unjust suffering must be so different that it gets noticed. So, slight change of gear. We're looking at verses 9 to 14 at this point. Peter says that unjust suffering is an opportunity to overcome evil with good. So what do I mean? What are we talking about here? What is unjust suffering? So here are some examples of things you might face or be facing currently. Some may be more significant than others. And of course, it might be something quite different from this for you. I think it might be helpful for us to know what we're talking about, the sorts of things that this might cover. So it might be the suffering of having a line manager who is lazy but is willing to take the credit for your hard work. Or the suffering of having a boss who sets you unrealistic targets and then criticizes you for not achieving them. Or it may be the suffering of a neighbor who disses your character, maligns your good character to others on your estate. Or the suffering of having to leave your home and community to seek a safer place to live as a Christian. Or the suffering of having your gifting and your talents overlooked because of ageism or racism, or even because you're known as a Christian. Peter says our response, especially to unjust suffering, is to be so different, so unexpected, so surprising that people will notice it and listen to what we say. Now, just as a heads up, I'm not going to say much about verses 15 and 16 because Jen is going to speak about that next week when she'll talk about being ready to speak up or give an answer for the hope that we have. But suffice it to say, if we respond to suffering as Peter tells us to, this will give us a platform to speak about Jesus. Because people will wonder, why are you responding like that? And they'll ask us about it. So specifically then, what does Peter say? How are we to respond to unjust suffering? And here Peter goes back to a couple of places in the Old Testament firstly to the Psalms, Psalm 34, and secondly to Isaiah, who's one of the Old Testament prophets. But he goes firstly to the Psalms, to a psalm that David wrote. And David himself at the time was facing some significant challenges. At the time he was being hounded by the king of Israel, who wanted to kill him and prevent him from taking his rightful place on the throne in Israel. If you like, David was facing his own unjust suffering at that point, and he had literally just escaped the clutches of another enemy king, and he wrote this psalm. And he writes this: "Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies." Whoever loves life and desires to see many good days. Well, I guess he had literally just escaped with his life, so you can understand where he's coming from. But it's quite an interesting way of starting, isn't it? A way of putting things. There is a sense, I think, of him saying, actually, if you respond like this, it will be good for you. It will be good for your health, and it will be good for your relationships. But if you respond with anger or bitterness or unforgiveness or trying to get back at people, then in one way or another, you will make yourself unwell, either physically or psychologically or both. So what does he say? So just, if you would, just look down at your Bibles again and just follow it through with me. So verse 9, "Do not repay evil with evil, but repay evil with blessing." Can you kind of literally, physically walk into the place where this unjust suffering is happening and simply pray? Pray God's blessing over the person or the situation or the people or the place. I think that as you do this, you will find that God changes you and blesses you through it. Secondly, speak truth, verse 10. Has there been a particular situation where you have been wrongfully accused or mistreated, and you find yourself talking about it? I think what Peter says here is if you do need to talk about it, then don't exaggerate things to make the other person look worse or to make yourself look better. If you're discussing or telling someone else what happened, then state the situation as fairly as you can. And avoid the temptation to gossip, to raise an eyebrow, to give a knowing smile when the issue comes up. And only talk about it to the people who need to know. Thirdly, do good, verse 11. Good is stronger than evil. Good can and has and does overcome evil. Fourthly, still verse 11, seek peace. Let that be your constant aim. Be a peacemaker. Aim to bring about a peaceful solution to this situation. Don't pour oil on the flames, as we say. Fifth, know that God is near, verse 12. Remember that God can see and he can hear. He knows exactly what has been said. He knows what has happened. He does understand, and it's his assessment of you that counts in the end. He will hear your prayers, and ultimately he will bring justice, and you will be shown to be right. Sixth, don't be fearful. God is with you, and that's from verse 14. And here Peter quotes from Isaiah 8:12, where Isaiah speaks about people who are running scared of armies that were coming in to invade their land. Isaiah says in those verses, he says, instead of being overcome by fear of others, be overcome with awe of God and worship him. Wait for the Lord, trust in the Lord. Keep on praising the Lord. Keep on exalting the Lord who is on his throne. On Thursday evening this last week, it was really good to come here and praise. For various reasons, I found this last week really tough. I think when you're preaching on a particular topic, you tend to kind of live that talk before you give it. So I was kind of this week regretting having put my name down for the one on suffering. But anyway, in the middle of a difficult week, I suspected that it would be good for me to come and praise together with the church family on Thursday evening. And it was. It was good. Because we sang together of the name of Jesus, the highest, greatest name, the name that stands above them all. And there were one or two songs that I didn't know that well, but there were a couple of guys who are not here this morning, I don't think, but they knew the song, and they sang it. They absolutely belted it out, and it was such a blessing, actually, to see that and to hear that, to see them singing their hearts out to Jesus. So we sang, as we have already this morning, and the angels cry holy, all creation cries holy. You are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Which brings me to the final point. The final point is that this is not easy. This is a challenge. To respond to unjust, unwarranted, unfair treatment in this way, unjust suffering, it's not easy. I know that, and you know it too. So how can we respond rightly? So it's fine, isn't it, for me to stand here and give you 6 points of how to do it, how to respond when you're treated badly and unfairly. But how? How will I do it? How will you do it? And so the final point this morning is this. Know and remember the grace of Christ, who endured the ultimate in unjust suffering for us. And this is from verse 18, if you want to look down again. Jesus Christ, the only one who had done no wrong, the only one who was truly blameless, truly in the right, was condemned as though he were the worst kind of criminal. He suffered for us to bring us to God. He has shown us the way, and he calls us to follow him. He demonstrated to us how this is to be done, and he gave us his example. But he's done more than that. He's actually shown us his grace. We were the ones who were opposed to him. You know, God didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up and make ourselves ready or to look attractive. He came to us. He, like that father in the story of the prodigal son, he sees the son a long way off, and he doesn't wait. What does he do? He runs. He doesn't make that son do the walk of shame. He runs towards him and nearly knocks him over with his love. It was while we were enemies of God that Christ died for us. We are living proof of God's grace. He has brought us to God. He has healed the relationship. He has bridged the gap. His grace has made the difference to us. And so we can live out of that grace. And so we can face unfairness or injustice ourselves. All we are is as a result of his grace towards us. So how can we be ungracious in our attitude to others? It's his grace that shapes our response. So can you do it on your own? Can you do it in your own strength? Do you feel ready? Are you thinking you have plenty of resources and you'll manage? If you're anything like me, then I suspect not. But we can overcome suffering through the grace of Jesus. It's by his grace, because of his love, and through his power that we can be ready for suffering. We need not be overwhelmed. Our hope and our confidence is in him. He is so close to us. He is so close to you right now. He is only a prayer away. And if you're a Christian this morning, he's alive, and by his Spirit, he's alive within you. He is setting up home in your heart. Jesus says in the Gospel, it's recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, he says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So, before I hand back to Darren, would you turn over to chapter 5, or I think Danny might be able to put it up on the screen. If you turn over chapter 5 and just look down at verse 10, and I thought it would be good if we could finish together by just saying verse 10 and 11 together. Let's just take a moment, have a little look at those verses. Take a moment to reflect. Let's say it together. "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen."